Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman. And today we are continuing with the subject that we started the other time. And it's about what the church is really, really supposed to be doing at this stage. And there was something about high places which I had started on. But I promised that I would perhaps exhaust it properly. And it's important that you listen to this because there is a road carried in here that is going to be of importance to you as a believer walking in these last days. Now, we read from Psalms 18, and David was saying, "You make my feet like the feet of a deer, and you set me up on my high places." Now, he was talking about his high places, and he set him up on my high places. And I really was trying to show you what is behind the whole thing of, you know, of high places. And it's not just an idle phrase, and it's used all the time in scripture to refer to a station that either a kingdom is in or a person in our case is in and where they station themselves. And that determines a lot of things that they face, the kind of battles they face, and whether they even face any battles whatsoever. So it all determines that. And where your high places are dwelt. And now there's a scripture which I read from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 28. And it was the final benediction of Moses, the servant of the Lord, towards Israel at the end of his life, when he was just about to die. And he says then that, "Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and of new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew." Now that is talking of a scenario of peace and prosperity. He says, dwell safety, dwell alone in a land of grain, new wine, the heavens shall also drop dew. Then he goes on to say in the next verse, in verse 29, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." Now, that is the important scripture that I really, really wanted to highlight, that their enemies shall submit to them. Now, there is a place where you dwell, and your enemies automatically submit to you. Even if they do not like you, they submit to you because you have placed your high place higher than theirs. So you're higher than them in realm. So somehow they have no choice but to submit to you. That doesn't mean they become your friends. They stay your enemies, but they are submitted to you. And that's not a bad place to be. And he says, "The shield of your help and the sword of your majesty, your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." Now, the most important thing here about what he said is how Israel has got to tread down the high places of their enemies, and so shall their enemies submit to them. Now, these were actual, in the Old Testament, these were actual high places that were set up in those places, in the different cities of Israel. And some of those cities, which really were supposed to be cities where people worship the Lord, like Bethel and all that. But they set up high places in those in those hills. And those high places, sometimes depending on what was the course of direction each king took, sometimes they went and made sacrifices to demon gods on those high places. But other times when they had godly kings, they did not make sacrifices on those high places, but then they did not tear down those high places as well. But as long as they did not tear them down and those high places existed, then they were always a snare to the children of Israel, and they caused a number of things. One of them, of course, was battle. But more than just battle, they caused the treasure in the house of God to move from Israel to some kings, other kings, kings, their enemies. But there were a few kings of Judah only who tore down the high places. One of them was Hezekiah, and the other one was Josiah. And Hezekiah was attacked by a huge army of Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria. And somehow, Hezekiah, first out of fear, gave the treasure of the house of God to those kings and said, "You leave us alone." But that only bought him safety for some time. Then eventually, He was rebuked by the prophet, and the Lord told him that you've given away that treasure, that why didn't you trust me to deliver you from Sennacherib? But eventually, of course, Sennacherib went and provoked the Lord and sent a message to Hezekiah telling him that do not think that your God is going to save you from, you know, from this great army. He said, we've destroyed all these places. And he mentioned all of them and said, don't you think those people had gods? So don't believe that your God is going to save you. And then he also sent messengers who were speaking to the children of Judah, who were on the walls, high on the walls, and telling them, don't let your king Hezekiah lie to you that your God is going to save you, because we've destroyed so many kingdoms, and those kingdoms also had gods. But at that stage, Hezekiah realized that he could not buy his freedom, even if he had already given his money off to the king of Assyria. But what happened is eventually he went to the Lord when he had no choice now. He went and the letter that had been written to him, he took it into the temple and set it before the Lord and said, look, Lord, what this man is saying. And it is true what he says, that they have destroyed all these kingdoms and they are gods. He said, but because those were not gods, but you, God, created the heaven and the earth. And then he says, now this man is too powerful for us. Please come and save us from him. And then the Lord speaks through the prophet Isaiah and says, I'm going to do it because he has provoked me. Because Sennacherib has mocked me, I'm going to show him. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm going to show him that I am God and that the gods he destroyed in other kingdoms were not gods. And that's what happened. So Hezekiah was saved, and he actually even got the treasure back into the house of the Lord. But because he had destroyed the high places. But then before him, there were so many kings who did not destroy the high places, even if their hearts were loyal to God. One of them was King Asa, or still of Judah. Now, I want you to know this, that after the separation of Judah and Israel into two separate kingdoms after the death of Solomon, Israel had Jeroboam, who was king over them, and he went and committed an abomination, set up priests who were not from the Levite family, and basically turned around all the worship system because it was based on Jerusalem, which was the capital of Judah, and yet he was in Samaria, which was the capital of Israel. So he didn't like the idea that his subjects would leave his country or his kingdom every three times in a year by the commandment of the Lord and go to Jerusalem to worship. So he changed the worship system and said, stay here, you don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. So he set up kings in the high places. Now, after that, after Jeroboam, Israel, which over which he was king, did not have any single king who obeyed the voice of God, who walked in the ways of God. Not one of them. All of them did evil in the sight of the Lord, of Israel. But in Judah, there were those who followed the way of the Lord, but there are those who did not. But everywhere in the scripture, it talks about, nonetheless, the high places were remained. Okay? Now read from 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 13. I will say this. And this is talking about King Asa and how he dedicated himself to serving the Lord. And he was really faithful in serving the Lord. But he says also he removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. So here is somebody who served the Lord so faithfully that he was willing to unseat his grandmother because she was insisting on pagan worship and he was going down the path of serving the Lord. And then it says, and Asa cut down her obscene image and burnt it by the brook, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. But because he did not remove the high places, that lasted a short time because he was also attacked at some stage and he also had to give up the treasure from the house of God in order to save himself because the high places remained. Now that remained a factor throughout throughout all the kings of Israel, those who served the Lord and those who did. There was Jehoshaphat, okay, served the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not removed, okay? Then there was Azariah, served the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not removed. But what I'm trying to show you here, that when the high places were not removed, these people ended up giving up the treasure from the house of God to save their necks, okay? And that was true all over. Now then there was Jotham, who also came. Okay, I'll read from 2 Kings chapter 15. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Uzziah also the same thing. Served the Lord, high places not removed. Now it's talking about his son Jotham. He did everything that Uzziah, his father, had done. serving the Lord. However, the high places were not removed, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now you see, what they are doing is they are mixing. He's building the house of the Lord, but people are still offering incense on the high places. Now, what was important is that eventually when the high places were removed, and Israel went and put their high places higher than their enemies, then they never lost battle. And in some cases, they never even had to battle because the Lord protected them all around. But it was all based on what Moses said. And you shall tread down their high places and your enemies will be submitted to you because you've trodden down their high places. And in other words, you've placed yours higher than theirs. Now, there's something I'm trying to drive to here, and just hear me out. Now, when I told you in the book of 2 Samuel, when they bring the news of the death of Saul, and they bring the news to David, and he's sad, and then he laments over him and composes that song, which he calls the Song of the Bow, and he says that the beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. Now, he's talking about Saul's high places, okay? Now, when Saul had a place, a high place, and to the extent that his place was high, to that extent he was conquering his enemies. But then eventually Saul turned around, went here and there, eventually even went into sorcery, and then somehow your high places become lower than your enemy's high places. And then David is saying the beauty of Israel is slain on your high places, on Saul's high places. Then even laments for Jonathan, Saul's son, and said Jonathan was also slain on Saul's high places because Jonathan stayed fighting for his father. But then his father had kind of reduced himself in the spirit. And so these kings came and then they slew him. So that's why David says in Psalms 18, lead me on to my high places. Now, his high places, which are supposed to be higher than the high places of all his enemies. So in that way, his enemies are subject to him, are submitted to him. And actually, that's what happened. In Psalms 18, he kind of alludes to that when he says that, you know, people who have not heard me, when they hear about me, they bow down. And they are submitted to me. And people who did not know me. And that's after he says, lead me to my high places. Then he says that people who have not known him submit to him, and foreigners submit to him. And that is all a factor of where his high place is. That's where it all comes from, where his high place is. So I'll read a bit from that and say, this Psalms 18, this is actually where we started last time. And it says, my high places. I'll start from verse 28. It says, for you light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them because my high places. Neither did I turn back till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so they could not rise. They are fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. Now that is all a factor of my high places, okay? Where somebody rises up against you, and because you've placed your high place higher than them, they are subdued immediately. Even as they think of rising up against you, they are subdued immediately. And eventually they just get into a place of submission to you. And now we are talking about dominion. Now this is part of it. You have given me the necks of my enemies, so I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of people. Now, this is also another thing which people have to understand, that there is a place where you put your high place, and even the strivings of people are beneath you, and you seem to be above in a place where people are striving over this and this, but somehow it doesn't seem to come near you because you've stationed your throne higher than that confusion. And now there's all this confusion that comes up, people trying to come, you know, striving. There's a lot of strife that engulfs, and this is the way of the enemy, to bring down so many people. Useless words, strife, and you know, things that happen, and somehow you are above that. It does not seem to hit you, even if it comes, and even if you might, your name might be drawn into it, but it cannot bring you down because it is beneath you, okay? And you are higher than it. Your high place is higher than that striving. So he says here that you have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. Now, this is all dominion, and this is high place, okay? Dominion and high place interlinked. Now, he says, you've made me the head of nations. A people that I do not know shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. They don't even know him. But when they hear his name, they say, who said that, King David? Then they obey. Yet they are not even his subjects. But because his dominion has exceeded, now even, you know, as soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners shall submit to me. Those are not even his subjects. Then the foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. Now that is dominion, that is high places, where he says, you've put me up in my high places, where God has intended for him to dwell. And now because he dwells there, it doesn't mean he visits, he dwells there. That's his place of abode. Now because that's where he dwells, people come to him from their hideouts, frightened. People are scared of you. And you say something and everybody is like, wow. And it's all because your high place, and they are submitted to you. So David says here in Psalms 18 verse 45, the foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives, blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. And he goes on to say, he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. Very important, because there will always be people who rise against you, regardless. I mean, I get these prayer requests every time. Somebody sent me a prayer request the other in workplace. Somebody, for no reason, in your workplace, somebody just rises up against you for no reason. And you find somebody, they might even be a subordinate, they might even be somebody at your same level, or they might even be your boss. But he or she rises up against you for no reason whatsoever. And they make your life hell at your workplace or whichever, wherever, even a neighborhood or something. And it is all down to high places. All down to high places. I remember there's a place I used to stay, and it was an estate, and there were so many Indians in that place. There are so many Indians who used to live in that place. So, and you know what those people do, because they understand those things of dominion. When they enter a place, they try to carry out dominion, and within a short time, the place is all full of Indians like them. And that does not happen just like that. One will come and sit in a place, in a whole estate. One comes and, you know, even rents out the house. Not even buys, he rents out a house. And the next minute, you know, in 1 or 2 years, the whole place is full of Indians. And everybody has left, and so they are the only ones there. That is not by mistake. You see, sometimes when you think that, you know, people just decided to wake up and leave. No. Those Indians exercise some things in the spirit to ensure that they have dominion over all that place. And then it becomes impossible for other people. And then eventually you find even somebody in the neighborhood somehow doesn't have money for rent. Then he goes, then an Indian comes and takes over, and then so on and so on and so forth. So it goes at that level. Now, in this estate where I was, one Indian comes here, another Indian comes here. Then one day I'm just there doing my things and, you know, living my life. And then one of them comes and asks, so is this house vacant? And he can see it is not vacant. And he can see there is somebody, there was a car parked in front there, and so, you know. So he can see the house is not vacant. But he's saying, is this house vacant? Then he asks, when is it falling vacant? And he's asking me. And he's asking me about a house which I was renting. Then I looked at him and said, who told you it is falling vacant? What makes you think it is falling vacant? Then he tells me that, okay, when it falls vacant, you let me know. As if when you're leaving, you let me know. Now, that's when it came to my mind that, hey, so this man thinks that because he's done his Indian things, his Hindu and whatever things, that somehow now his throne is higher than mine, that now I'm supposed to vacate the place so that they come and take over my house. That's when it occurred to me that they are so confident in their things that as soon as he goes and does his rituals, he now knows that it is time for me to leave. So I said, hey, okay, let's see who has a higher throne. So what I did, I went and engaged my high places, okay? And I went and engaged my high places, And then the next thing, actually, Indians started moving out of the estate. Now, then the next thing I realized, my neighbor, those, you know, I passed there, then I hear them praying, then I find out the man who moved there actually is a pastor. Then I say, now I'm exercising my dominion, okay? They think they are supposed to take over, but their high places are lower than mine. But you see, if you don't know, if you are not cognizant of these facts, of what your authority is in the spirit, and you do not know how to raise yourself above some of these things, you end up going with the rest of the world who don't know anything. Yet actually, you are supposed to know better than that. So do not allow somebody to go and set their throne higher than yours, okay? I mean, I'm talking about somebody who is an unbeliever. And then they suddenly become a thorn in your flesh because you're there living a natural, normal, non-spiritual life. Even if you are a child of God and you have the ability to set your high places high and high and high above every principality, power, and dominion. The Bible says that, okay? He has seated us high, you know, above every principality, power, and dominion. But if you do not know how to exercise that and bring it into a reality, then it actually, you end up just like any normal person, and then some, you know, Indians will come and throw you out of an estate. Okay, you wonder why suddenly the money has gone, then your landlord turns against you, then suddenly you're gone. I remember there was a brother of mine who had an issue with a place he went to stay. Now he went there, he used to wake up at 3 a.m. to pray, to pray, born again person. But next to him, there was a woman who would wake up, go and, you know, blow her mindi. Blow mindi. So somebody was considering that maybe I leave the place. I said, no, don't leave the place. She has to leave. And said, actually, in any case, I don't even want the place. I said, no. Don't leave just because you don't want the place. First, make her leave. Then if you don't want the place, you leave. Because we have to demonstrate to the children of darkness that we operate at higher places, higher places, seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You have to demonstrate that to them. Otherwise, they start thinking that their powers are superior to ours. And like that is such a fallacy, such a fallacy. So anyway, so eventually I told him, no, don't do that. But what happened when she would wake up and blow her mindy? Then when he wants to wake up to pray, he feels very weak, very sleepy, like his body can't get up. Like you are supposed to wake up at 3 a.m., then it is 3 a.m., your alarm has gone and your body is weak and you feel so sluggish and everything in you just wants to pull back the blanket and go to sleep. So he did that for a few days. Then he realized that this woman is going to subdue him if he lets his feelings or what his body feels to take a control of him. So he said, I'm not going down that direction. So when he would wake up at 3 a.m., in spite of how he felt, he would just wake up and go and pray. So he prayed, he would pray at 3 a.m. At first, at the beginning of the prayer, you know, you're still a bit sluggish, but after 10, 15 minutes, then he has broken through. Now, eventually, the woman became very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. Now, this somebody would blow me. She would see him and even run and what. Now, because you've known that she knows that you've established your high place higher than hers. Now, eventually, something small happened with the landlord, because the landlord came about. I don't know if it was landlord or a landlady, came around, and this woman had gone and changed, I think, her meter, electricity meter, and done some kavuyo in a way that she was passing on her. I don't know what the extent of the kavuyo. I don't even know the fullness of it. But the point is, she was trying to pass on her bills to this brother so that she consumes electricity, but somehow is the one who pays. She was going into the flesh. Usually, people of spirit don't go to fight battles in the flesh unless they have already been defeated in the spirit. When you see somebody who is spiritual fighting in the flesh, you know they have been defeated in the spirit. Now, this woman went to do that because she had already been defeated by this brother in the spirit. But one day, as she's in the process of fixing the wires of the electricity to try and turn her bill on to this brother, guess what happens? At that very moment, then the landlord comes and finds her doing it. Then he says, what are you doing with those meters? What are you trying to do? And then the landlord tells her, I want you out of my house tomorrow. Tomorrow, pack your things and leave this house. So she packed. And of course, she knew that she left because this brother had exercised dominion over her and put his high place where it is supposed to be, above all principality and power. And eventually she left. But then also when she left, this brother also decided he was tired of the place and he also left. But that's good because he had to exercise to her that we operate at a higher level than those people. So he says here, it is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Now, as I told you, there will always be people who rise up against you in offices, in workplaces, in business, in, you know, even estates. Like I gave you an example of myself in residential places. Just rise above them. You lift me up above those who rise against me. Now, go in the Lord, you can just go and sort all that by knowing that you have a high place. Now, of course, many people call and say, there's this person who is disturbing me and so on. Please help me sort them out. And usually I would say that, what's their name? And for the most part, as long as I see there is a justified reason for this person to be appropriate, I would do it. But I want you to know that you can do it as well. I want everybody to do it as well, to know that you do not have to. You just establish your high place in a certain place. And people will not, you know, look down. You'll be above striving. You'll be above somebody rising up against you. You will exercise dominion in a certain way, even in to a point where even your bosses are seeking your permission, and you know, and you have dominion. Really, you have dominion. So it is important, and then that dominion will translate. This I can tell you very, very clearly. It will translate into finance. Okay, if you know how to appropriate it, if you know how to appropriate it, it will most definitely translate into finance. And you'll see how, like, the dominion of Solomon, where people bring things to you, wealth to you that you do not need, but they bring it anyway. And they probably need it more than you do, but they bring it to you who doesn't need it, because you have dominion over them, because you've established dominion over them. So those are some of the things that, you know, it's important for us to understand about high places. Now, it's spoken about so many times in the book of, and somewhere in, I think 25, he talks about it in a way that I really like. Job 25, talking about high places. And I'll just give that, then I'll tell you, because I'm sure some people are saying, how is it that we, okay, we've known on about high places, that's a good thing. So how do we establish ourselves in a way that people will not kumanyira us like that? So how do we sit on our throne, so to speak? Now, of course, you have to know that you have a throne, okay? The scripture says that in Colossians chapter 1, that he has made all thrones and, you know, he made thrones, principalities and what. Now, most believers hear principalities, they are associated with the devil. But actually, it's more than it's more than just the devil. It's also you can be a principality in the kingdom of God, okay? Principalities are not just devils. Actually, they are. Let me talk about that a bit more. Let me just get you this scripture that talks about, in the book of Job, that talks about high places. And then I'll go ahead and explain to you some of these things that... Job chapter 25, verse 2, he says, maybe I'll even start from verse 1. He says that, then Bildad the Shuhamite answered and said, dominion and fear belong to him. He makes peace in his high places. Is there any number to his armies? Upon whom does his light not rise? So the thing is, when you go to the dominion and fear in the high places, dominion and fear, that's the scripture I wanted you to understand. Dominion and high places move together. To the extent that you go and sit in your high places, to that very extent shall you exercise dominion and have fear. That's why David says, people who I do not know, come, they obey me as soon as they hear my name. And they are submitted to me as soon as they hear of me. And then they come trembling out of their hiding places. That's what King David says in Psalms 18. They come trembling, you know, from their hideouts to come to me, because the Lord has given me dominion. Very important thing. Now, scripture says in, I'll read this. Because you know these scriptures anyway. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the word high places is not anywhere in the New Testament, okay? But there is a reference point to it, something that I would say, although it is really an explanation, but something I would equate to, let's say, heavenly places. Now, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I remember somebody, perhaps even at some stage, even myself saying, okay, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But why has he blessed us with natural blessings in the earthly places in Christ Jesus? Why are we suffering and broke, yet he has blessed us? But then what's the point in blessings being in heavenly places, yet we need them here on earth, yet they are in heavenly places? Of course, that was ignorance speaking. And there are so many people who might still be at that level of ignorance. If he wants to bless, why is he blessing us with things in the heavenlies? But you see, now you have to understand, first and foremost, that you are in the heavenly places. At least you are supposed to. You are in the heavenly places, but for it to actually have an impact, it has to be something you have in your consciousness. Because it says also in Ephesians, by the word heavenly places appears only in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So you are actually in the heavenly places. The question is, do you actually behave like you are? Is it something you have in your consciousness that you persistently carry around, and you say that I am this? Now, if you do not carry it around, and if you do not understand that you are in the heavenly places, and from there you can appropriate all the blessings with which you have been blessed, and they actually manifest on earth, then you live like a normal man, yet you actually are supposed to have a high place up there where you are, okay? A high place where you are, and from where you fight, and where you're not supposed to be fighting certain battles. You know, someone says, so how do I ascend to these high places? The question is, how do I ascend to my high place? Of course, a number of ways, you know, and in all honesty, it's not something I can exhaust right now. But I'll tell you a few things here before I go back to the heavenly places. First of all, I'll read from Isaiah, a scripture which everybody knows, okay? Verse 30, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Everybody knows this. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not fail, and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But the question is, those who wait upon the Lord. The issue here is, of course, sometimes when you tell people wait upon the Lord, there's a lot of religious, and by religious, I'm talking about born-again religious. You know, so the Baroque religious thinking that has seemed to attach a certain practice to waiting upon the Lord. And now when they even do it, saying we are waiting upon the Lord, but they actually are not waiting upon the Lord. If they knew what it really meant to wait upon the Lord in actual sense, then they would mount up with wings like eagles. And I'll tell you this, that the scripture does not give similes just out of the blue, like eagles, like this. The devil moves around like, you know, like a lion. No, those similes that the scripture gives are not idle. They are given for a reason. Now, the reason it says shall mount up with wings like eagles is because there's something about the ego. Number one is that the ego, there are birds like crows which can come and actually go on top of an ego and start nibbling away at it as fighting it. But then the ego has one thing that none of these other birds has. Eagles have been sighted as far as 9,000 feet above sea level. Now that is really high. In other words, they can go very, very, very high into the sky and no other bird can reach there. So now what happens is when the crow or these other birds, all the seagulls and all of them come and start attacking the ego does not fight back. It just goes high in the air and goes high. Now, when it goes past a certain height, the other birds either jump off and run away because at that height they can't breathe, whereas the ego is comfortable at those high heights. So it goes and suddenly all its enemies are left under it. But then also the ego has, you know, that view where it can be high and see everything that is happening down. Now it says you should mount up with wings like an eagle. And then when he says there that you've delivered me from the strivings of people and my enemies are subdued under me. And then he says you mount up with wings like an eagle. It shows there are battles which are taking place, but they are beneath you. You are above them. And you might see them because an eagle sees everything up to the ground. Even when it goes high up there, it can see up to what's on the ground because it also has that special eyesight. So you look down and see the battles that people are going through. But for the reason that you're higher, your high places are up there, they cannot touch you. You're up there. But you're looking at them. You're seeing them. You see this battle. There is this battle and this battle. And you say, oh, please. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you. And then, of course, if you are like in a position like I am, people come and tell you, man of God, this is happening in my life. I'm going through this and this. And I understand what they are going through because I've been there. But depending on what kind of maturity I see in them, for the most time I'll tell them, okay, stop fighting battles which you are not supposed to fight. Now just go and lift yourself up. Go up into your high places. Go to your high places. Those battles will stop happening. You know those battles of something, the devil is attacking me here, the devil is attacking me here. Then you are going from one thing to the other. And they're actually mostly caused by, number one, bad teaching. Actually, that's one of the biggest issues. Because almost all the people who are fighting persistent battles which never end, putting out one fire after the other. From this one, the devil attacked me here. From this one, the devil attacked me here. Then the devil is attacking you and not stopping. And because you are still within his territory, okay? You have not lifted up yourself high in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's where you're supposed to be, up in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, remember when I used to be in those situations where people would go and say all those soulish prayers. And I knew those soulish prayers which people say, and they give authority to the devil to attack children of God. You know, those non-spiritual prayers which come from, really from a bad heart. They spring from a bad heart. Now, I remember one time, there's some church I was attending, and I just felt that my time there was up. So I left the church and left. Now, the pastor's wife decided that I wasn't supposed to leave. And you know, there are people who are like that. They just think that you're supposed to be there. Once you come there, you're supposed to die there. Now, of course, I'm not saying that everybody is supposed to leave. But my point is, you have to be led by the Lord. So I was led by the Lord away from that place. But for some reason, this person did not like it. So she went and even fasted and started saying those soulish prayers of, you know, nothing is going to work out in his life until he comes out. Everything is going to go awry until he comes back and so on. Now, how I knew she was doing that is I would have dreams when she's fighting me and fighting me with her words, and it's appearing in my dreams. And I'm sensing she's fighting me in her words. And I'm saying, but then it just stop there, because it affects things around your life. Because you see, believers don't know the power they have in their tongue, and they use that power for evil. And there is nothing the devil would want better than a child of God to use their power to curse another child of God. Because until you do that, the devil has no right, actually, is waiting for an opportunity to attack that person. But that person is protected. Until somebody, especially somebody in an authority position, goes and says, let nothing work out for him. May his legs break. There are people who say those prayers, and they think they are praying to God. But they are actually just giving permission to the devil to attack the other person. Because the Holy Spirit cannot answer prayers which are not in his nature to answer. If you tell the Holy Spirit that I don't want that person to work out, I don't want nothing of his to work out, the Spirit of God is not going to answer that prayer. It is not in his nature. The Spirit of God will answer prayers which are in his nature. If you say, Lord, bless that man, then the Spirit of God will say, yes, I'm going to bless him, because it is in his nature to bless. If you say, God, uplift him, heal him, okay, encourage him, may he be uplifted, and all the good things, then you are actually using your words to speak something positive into somebody's life, and the Spirit of God brings it to pass. But now if you use your words to say weird things, and you say, in the name of Jesus, that person, let nothing work out in his life, may he fail in every endeavor, the Holy Spirit is not going to answer that prayer. Because he's not in the business of failing people. Okay, that is not the nature of God. And your prayers are not going to change God's nature. Don't be stupid. Okay? Don't think that your anger is going to be translated to God. that because you're angry, somebody left your church, so God is also supposed to be angry. So you want to transmit your anger through God. No, that's not how God works. But that doesn't mean your words do not have an impact. They do. Because they give permission to the enemy to go and attack that person. And he has now permission from a child of God. So usually that person starts, and this is what usually happens in the spirit. The person starts feeling like almost depressed, like a low feeling, like something is sitting on them, like an oppressive spiritual feeling. And usually that is somebody, now people are speaking certain things about you, and you're still within their realm, a realm where they can affect you with their words. So they speak certain things about you, and I used to feel that you wake up, there's nothing wrong in your life, you're okay, but you have this oppressive feeling. Then I got to know from my dreams that this person was attacking me in my dreams. And of course, usually it's ignorance. The people don't pray those prayers out of ignorance. But the ignorance can cause a lot of harm to other children of God. Okay? So what eventually happened is when I realized that one thing happens, then you're walking, then you hit your toe, then you have a... Things which happen when you're under attack, which cannot happen like now, which I would not let happen like in my life right now. I can't. You're fighting battles. Then this one happened, then I came and put out this fire. Then the devil attacked me here, then I defeated him. And you think that's a testimony, but you're not supposed to be in a place where he's playing with you. You're supposed to be above. Okay? So every minute you have a testimony, but the testimony shows that you are at a certain low level. And then your teaching also tells you, because there are cursings. You are cursed. There is a curse on your life from your grandparents and so on, and then they teach you that. Then you spend all your life trying to break curses and you do not... Where are the blessings? Okay? Yet, yes, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, that Christ became a curse for us so that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. Okay? In Christ Jesus. So now, you are blessed with the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. But if somebody teaches you that you're cursed and you believe it, then you will manifest that curse in your life, not because it is true, but because you've believed it. And it will manifest in your life and you stay in a stage of putting out fires. Every day there is something which has attacked you, then you defeat it. And you think that is a big testimony. But you're not supposed to be attacked by that. So now when I started going up to my high place, and I remember I started praying, and so many people do not know how to, even those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit do not know how to pray in tongues. I was visited by a certain lady here. I asked her, "Do you pray in tongues?" She said, "I did it once, but after that, I don't do it a lot." I said, "Tell me how it was when you did it." She told me the experience, and I knew it was the real experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is very sweet. You feel something has changed completely. It's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. There is no point even trying to describe it here. Then she said, "But afterwards, when I try to speak in tongues, it's feels like I'm saying nothing." I told her, "No, that is the devil lying. You're saying everything. When you give this gift of the Spirit of God by the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues once, you then have the ability to speak in tongues every time, anytime you want. Anytime you want. The gifts and callings of God are not taken away. They stay with you. They are irrevocable. The scripture says the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So you already have that gift of the Spirit of God. Peter calls it the gift in Acts chapter 2 when he says this gift, talking about explaining to the Jews about, on Pentecost, and says this gift is for you and for your children and for your children's children and to as many as the Lord our God will call. So anybody who is born again has a right to receive that gift of the Spirit of God. You only have to believe God for it. And be around the right teaching where people are teaching you that you are supposed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then, when you are baptized, start speaking in tongues consistently. So I told this lady that 95% of my prayers are speaking in tongues. When I say I've been praying for 3 hours, you just know for 2 hours and 40 minutes or even 50 minutes I've been speaking in tongues. Now, when I speak in tongues, the scripture says that I don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit of the Lord prays the prayers I'm supposed to pray through me because he knows what I'm supposed to be praying for about myself. So I'm explaining to somebody who is a starter. Now, some of you already know these things because you've been in ministries where this is taught. But some people do not know this. So I said, if I pray for 3 hours, 2 hours and 50 minutes are in tongues. Then the 10 minutes, I'm just proclaiming what the Bible says about me. For instance, I say I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am the, of the household of God. It says that in Ephesians chapter 2. And you know, I know the wonderful things. You know, the power of God has given me all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Okay, blessed be the Lord God who daily loads me with benefits. In other words, I'm just speaking things from the scripture about myself. Okay, and sometimes I might even get a Bible, like the scripture, and start reading scriptures, and where it is saying you, where Paul is writing to the church, okay, I say me, blessed be the Lord God, who has, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me. Instead of saying blessed you, I say blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For as he foreknew me and foreordained me and brought me into accepted me into the beloved. Now I put myself in that scripture because those words were written to me. As the church, they were written to me. So I go and put myself in those words. That is the rest of the prayer. Now, when you start listening to the right things and praying the real prayers, because I know people who spend a lot of time praying, and in fairness, there is very little effectiveness in their prayer. I can tell you that, because somebody will go, and sometimes you listen to them and you see they have zeal, they really want to communicate with God, but they do not know how to connect with what the Lord says about them. You know, those beautiful things that God says about them. They do not know how to connect with them. And when they connect with them, they will see a manifestation of them within a very, very, very short time. So, when you start doing that, the first thing that I noticed when I was going high, I remember one dream which was so, so clear, and it was telling me a message. It was giving me a message. Now, I would be walking, and I don't know for some reason, it would be at some former school of mine where I used to go. But then it would be in a desolate place. And now, the school was, I wouldn't be like active. Like I would move away from the school. And then I remember there was a certain pitch which was some distance away, which people had never used to use. Then I would be there, walking there. Then some things come and try to attack me in a dream. And this was, of course, so many years after I'd left the school. So many years, almost decades after I'd left the school. But now some things come and attack me, and I know this is the enemy, then I would just fly above and lift myself high above them. And then I remember one, I would look down and I see there's a lot of confusion. Down there's almost as if there's skulls and confusion and, almost like, waste and so on. And then I would be flying up. Then at some point, as if I come down a bit, then there was something which was waiting for me to come down. And I remember it jumped very high and almost got my finger and bit my finger as if it was some kind of animal which had flown up, but was there looking at me. And I knew, of course, those are, demonic things. And it bit my finger. And then I woke up. And when I woke up, the finger was actually paining. There was pain in that finger. Then I realized that the message of the dream was that I was high. Then I don't know what it is. Maybe sometimes you get busy, you stop, get out of a certain place, and then you start descending, and then there are things waiting for you to descend. They have been there waiting for you, but as long as you're high up there, they can't touch you. So now I realize what the dream was saying. So I said, now I'm going to go high, and I stayed high. And now all those battles over this is happening, but there is no putting out of fire. I'm moving from glory to glory. And now this is how every believer is supposed to be. When you establish your high place above the high place of your enemy, like David says, where lead me to my, make my feet like a deer. And I told you before, the reason he uses a deer is a deer actually has the ability to climb a very high rock. And I'm sure you've probably seen them on TV and what. And they climb on very high rocks and where there's very small space for them to do, but they climb and they are steady. You'll never see it tumbling and falling down. And now he says, make my feet like the feet of a deer. I told you these similes, which he uses, like the feet of a deer, mount up with wings like an eagle. They are not idle. When he says like this, you go and find out what is it about that animal that he has given an example of it. And now deers also have that unique ability of their back foot will step exactly where the right foot was. When the right foot goes ahead and steps in a place, the back foot will step exactly where the right foot was. Exactly. That's why it is so easy for them to go up those mountains. So, mount up, like a deer. Then he says, and set me on my high places. So I started working on lifting my high places, going higher. being in the presence of the Lord, praying in tongues, meditating on the word of God all the time. Okay? It says somewhere in Psalms 19 that I have more knowledge than my teachers because I meditate on your word. Okay? Then he says, it also says in Timothy that your growth or your profiting might be evident to all because you meditate on the word of God. So meditating on the word of God is a very, very powerful weapon of actually rising up and going and sitting on your high place. Okay? Now, even in the kingdom of God, there are people who have higher places than others. Not everybody has, you know, a similar high place. There are people who are supposed to be leaders, you know, who have higher offices and so on. But your high place, whatever it is above every principality, every power, and every dominion of the enemy. Okay? Now, stating you that, let me read a bit about this. Just read the scriptures here from the book of Ephesians. I told you where, the only place where you find the word heavenly places. So when it says the Lord has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just go and establish yourself, sit, dwell in those heavenly places, and those blessings will come to you automatically. You will experience them here, even if actually you're in the high places, your spirit is there, but you're here, and you experience those blessings here. They are more effective up there. The only reason you've not seen them is because you still kept yourself here. You've not lifted your high place to where it is supposed to be, where now those blessings come to you automatically because they were given to you by Christ. He says also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and what is exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Okay? Christ seated at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So now here it's saying that Christ was seated in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. But then it also says, also you were seated with Christ. I'll read that in Ephesians. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places with Christ. So we are together in the heavenly places. That means we are also far above all principality, all dominion, and all what. Now, if you're still there fighting with it, because you've not gone to your heavenly place, you are supposed to be far above all principality, all dominion, because you are supposed to be where Christ is, in the heavenly places. Now, the word supposed means you can get there if you actually attune yourself and know that that's where you're supposed to be. And then stop fighting these battles which people want to keep, you know, some people want to keep others in. You know, then you're attacked here. You know, there's this. So you're permanently in a state of attack, being attacked. Okay? But then also, it also mentions twice in the that they're also spiritual hosts of darkness in the heavenly places. It says as in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there is a place up in the heavenly places where these principalities dwell. But you are in the higher one where Christ is, with Christ. So they are supposed to be below you, beneath you. That is the key thing. That's the most important thing you have to understand. They have to be beneath you. And then when you do, now when you start flying, now I remember when I started doing that, then people say that, I remember I would hear this long ago, when you dream when you're flying, that's witchcraft. Wrong. And there are things which people say. You have to understand that some people just cram these things. And they don't analyze them with any form of spirituality. So if you go and believe them, they will bring you down to a place where you're always in defeat, because they are also always in defeat. But you have to rise up to a place where you are permanently in victory, where David said, in my high places. When Saul was destroyed and was killed by the Philistines in the mountains of Gilboa, David says, the beauty of Israel has been slain in your high places. But then he says, God, lift me up to my high places. Now, was David slain by the Philistines? No. He kept them in subjugation, okay? And Syria and so many of the other kingdoms, he put them all in subjugation under him because he sat in his high places. Now, if he had also left and come down here, the Philistines would come for you. Now, that is also true for us today. So now I want you to go and to understand that there are certain things, battles you fight, and just because you've not sat on your high place, go and sit on your high places, spend time with the Lord, speak in tongues. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. Lift yourself up in the high places. And you might even start having these similar things that I told you, these dreams. And then you know that you're going higher and higher and higher and higher in your actual, dwelling with the Lord. Then you get to a place where all your enemies are subdued under you, and the Lord has delivered you from the striving of people, where nobody can even dare come up against you in office because they are scared of you. And those things of, my boss rose up against me, high place, put him down. Even if he's your boss in the natural, you have a higher place. You can have a higher place than him in the spiritual if he's not born again. And then he cannot rise up against you. He'll actually be seeking your favor. And you people wonder why, what is so special about this person that the boss seeks his favor. But the answer is in high places. So thank you so much for listening. Now, today I just want to tell you something small as we come to a close. It is very imperative. One other thing I didn't tell you to lift your high places is sacrifice. And sacrifice involves also giving. And now giving has something to do with high places. But if you tell some people, then they think, oh, so that's why you are telling us all this all along, just so that you tell us to give. No, that's not why. Okay, but I'm telling you, you can also get higher in the spirit by connecting with somebody who is higher. Now, if you want to connect with this financially, numbers to give are 0780-292-555 or 0755-292-555. I'll say them again, 0780-292-555 or 0755-292-555. Go and use those numbers and sow a seed towards this, and let us continue preaching the gospel and doing all the work of God. And God bless you all. You can also go to the website in case you missed the first message of My High Places, www.ugwatchman.com. Go there. All the messages are recorded there, and you can download them using very little data because we try to make them as compact as possible. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9 Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.